Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Welcome to the United States of Paranormal Podcast. Sit down and buckle up for an enlightening ride through everything cryptid, creepy, and paranormal.
Hello, all of my paranormal freaks out there. It is I, Golden Jay, hanging out with
the Rocker Chick
and
J-Dub.
And we are the United States of Paranormal.
Sure are.
Rawr? Did you growl into the microphone? Rawr. Okay. All right. You good over there? Messing with that light, you know, getting all just gotta get just that right angle there, do
it's
you?
It's like it's shining in my eyes.
Oh my shining goodness!
Shining in my eyes.
I put a filter on it.
I know, but still.
Let's take the filter off and let's see how bright it is. All right, guys, what's been going on?
Not a whole lot.
We had an amazing story with Peter last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you guys out there really enjoyed it. He does such an amazing job.
He does.
And he's such a nice guy, so likable, and he's got some great stories, and oh, man, I enjoy our time with him.
And got a cute puppy.
So in the middle of that, you'll see his dog go up and jump on the chair or the couch, whatever's back there. And as soon as I seen it, I just looked at J-Dub, and this big smile comes across her face. I'm like, yep, there's the puppy. Oh. All right. Well, I mean, if there's nothing, you guys want to talk about anything?
Got any emails?
Yeah.
I do have an email that I want to talk about.
Okay.
It's an older email that I should have done a few episodes ago, but I did talk to the person who sent this email, and I'm like, listen, with everything we had going on, I missed it, but I'm going to go back to it. And I'm just going to read the email, and we can talk about it after that, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Chico here. After listening to the first 30 minutes of episode 111, you all have me thinking about the meaning of life. So here is my coffee talk answer. As the Emperor / Golden Jay said, positivity is one of the most important aspects of my life. So much so that I have it tattooed on my arm. So does Golden Jay. Look, and I'll show you. It's right there. See the, there you go. Really good for listening podcasts. Right? it's not there for fun. It is there as a reminder that no matter what happens, there is always something positive to pull out of the situation, good or bad. It wasn't until about 5 months ago that I found an additional meaning to life. Keeping Sophia and Sarah happy, positive, and healthy. There's nothing better than picking Sophia up after work and seeing her smile. Seeing her recognize that it is time to go home and see her mom. There is absolutely nothing better than the reaction that Sarah has day after day of Sophia and me walking through the door. So, the meaning of life, not an easy question to answer. For me, showing Sophia that there is positivity in the world and that no matter what, like my parents are to me, I will always be there for her as a backboard to balance her feelings and thoughts off of. Yes, I can also be an ass. 100%. Like J-Dub said, We all have one and can be one. I think I get that from Golden Jay, though. I don't know. I think maybe the Rocker. No, anyway, you guys are killing it. Love the pod. Love you all. Keep up the banter. Looking forward to coming on and covering Centralville.
I can't even say it.
Centralia.
Centraliaville.
With the Rocker chick one day. Living my life a quarter mile at a time. Chico. P.S. Suck it, Colton. Oh, P.S.S. Celestial Stag. So, yes, that, if you don't know, Chico or Gunner is the lead host of the Call Guys. Him and Colton do the Call Guys together. And he also is our son, our middle son. And yes, we do have positivity tattooed upon us. And yes, I know exactly what it's like when you go to pick up Sophia from the from the daycare and she recognizes you and that big smile comes across this 5-month-old little baby who just is just so happy to see you. And yeah, that if that doesn't bring positivity to your life, I don't know what does. But I had the same thing with Aspen and Sora. I mean, even last weekend when we had them, it was, they come running in and give you big hugs and are just so happy to see you. And it's just an amazing feeling there. But yeah.
Yep.
Any comments
definitely
on
agree.
That?
Definitely agree with everything he said. So. Mm-hmm.
Everything?
Thank you. Thank you for the email.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you for the email. Sorry it took me a minute to get to it.
It happens.
It does, unfortunately. We get a lot going on and things get a little haywire from time to time. But, yep, the meaning of life. It was an in-depth. I got to admit, man, our talk about the meaning of life and our talk about, you know, mental health over the past, you know, few episodes when we talked about it has really had an outreach to our listeners, and I am absolutely humbled by the emails and the fact that you guys want to reach out and talk to us about it, and it's fucking amazing. And I love being able to talk to our listeners about this, and it has been amazing. So thank you guys for everybody who reached out. The list is endless. I mean, it really truly is. I don't know. I don't know much more to say about that, but it's been pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, there you go. Chico.
Nice.
We have heard from, you know, Carrie. Carrie's emailed us. Me and him are just kind of back and forth about some things, and I just want to put it out there that, you know, thanks for the email, Carrie. Appreciate it. He did get a chance to finally see your episode again. And he thinks maybe he saw it once before, but he enjoyed it. So
good.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you ready for a crazy question? This is a tough one.
Oh, no.
This actually is a tough one. Are you ready?
Sure.
What is the worst smell?
Oh, God. Cat pee.
Yeah.
That one's pretty bad.
Awful.
I can get behind that one. I can get behind that one. Rocker chick, you got something? You can't pick the same thing as J Dub. You want a minute to think? I'll tell
yeah.
you mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have at our work, we have a nice thing that they do where they call it mobile meals, where they take meals to they take meals to people who can't get out of their house. We have a lot of great people that do that. We have some great people that do that, and we have some assholes that do that. And I'm just gonna say this, but they need to learn how to park. You can stay out of my spot. But anyways, Not your favorite Mobile Meals people. They never park in my spot, believe
my
it or not.
My parents do it. You're welcome. They're sweet.
They are sweet. I love your mom and dad. They're great. But once a week, they do this every day. Once a week, the dietary takes their carts down to the area where they pick it up at, and it's down our little walk-in area. And if they have fucking broccoli in that thing, it smells so bad. I can't stand that, and it lingers in there all the rest of the day, but the broccoli is terrible.
That's why we call them the fart bag. And I think it's an everyday thing. They must have broccoli in it every day then, if you think it's just the broccoli.
I think it's just the broccoli. Mm-hmm. But they could. There's a couple days where, but the broccoli, because I've made comments like, is broccoli in there? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's mine. That's what I think my worst smell is. There's certain things that probably people hate that I actually like, but that ought to have been the question. Anyways, what do you got?
I would have to say musty smells.
Oh, that's
like wet things that have been wet and just, I don't like that smell.
That kind of lingers on people's clothes, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Why is that interesting?
I'm just thinking.
I love the smell of fiberglass. I can't even smell it anymore. So
Every
driver that ever comes in, it's like, how can you work in this stuff? It's like, what are you talking about? I don't smell it anymore. It's in my system. So
I can't even think of what it smells like.
I can't explain it, but I smell it every day because it's on her clothes when she gets home.
And I seriously don't smell it at all anymore. So
she's nose blind.
Yep, absolutely. The other thing that gets me is when she'll bring home like somebody buy her food, and then she's like, she brings home half of it. She's like, here, you want this? Sometimes it'll taste like fiberglass.
So I don't bring him home food anymore. I just, if we don't eat it, it gets thrown in the trash. I don't bring it home.
It's too bad because usually you get like an extra pizza or, although yesterday she did bring home a Oak and Alley burger. Was it like a spicy chicken or whatever?
Yes, but I kept that covered. I ate in the office and then kept it covered so it didn't get the.
Yeah, it didn't taste like it and it was pretty good. So Oak and Alley's spicy chicken sandwich?
Pretty spicy.
Make your butthole burn afterwards, too, let me tell you. This morning,
oh,
a little bit of a burn. Potty talk. Only on the United States Paranormal.
Oh, boy.
All right, J-Dub, are you ready to get into today's story?
Sure.
This actually comes from a listener. Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
You did tell me that, but you didn't tell me who.
I'm going to look it up real quick. I have a pretty good idea, but I want to double check. So this comes from Carrie Daughtry.
Oh.
He sent me the link, the Instagram link for this. And I know that you and me had talked about it, but I wanted to make sure. And, of course, I texted you, and you're like, yeah. And so I am him back, and I'm like, she's on it. He's excited to hear it. So it's all yours.
All right. Well, I'm sorry if I butcher words. this is my natural thing to do, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we are going to go to Alaska. Yay!
Yay!
there is a myth where there are little people that live in the wilderness. Each region has its own twists on certain themes. This legend, though, tells of a race of little people clad in old Alaskan garb and possessing supernatural strength and speed despite their size. That sounds like me.
There you go.
This race of magical beings supposedly live underground or inside mountains and possesses control over natural forces. But that's where the similarities cease. Everyone seems to have different takes on the little people, as this lore has been consistently mentioned in several articles while I was researching. The little people bear striking resemblance to other cultures telling of fairies, dwarves, gnomes, goblins, leprechauns, and other little people. Magical races of tiny stature, each possessed being protective and have the desire to do good or spiteful vengeance depending on the story. Everybody's story is different, I guess. Alaskans' perceptions on this topic range from nonchalant to amused, but occasionally people would say that they would get emotional about the little people. Displays of anger, sadness, fear, or whimsy are the majority of the stories. Nothing too crazy, though, that I found.
Nothing too crazy. Mm. Okay.
One village that I found in Northwest Shetulik is unanimous in its fear of the little people, and people clearly took it seriously. Everyone in this village thought that anyone who caught sight of the little people would go missing for at least a year. Supposedly, these poor souls would spend a year underground in captivity and occasionally never came back. Some people were convinced that the missing ones were eaten or enslaved. Others believed they were just enjoying their life among the little people and now peacefully live with them underground. I did find two stories that are a little weird. So here we go.
All right.
And I'm just going to read these as they put it so I don't butcher their stories by trying to remember it. I mean, I butchered my own notes above there, so you know. A local man stated how his uncle had been hunting with a friend. Let's call him Rex and Sam. These two native Alaskan hunters were described as being excellent marksmen and exceptionally talented at navigating the hazards of the untamed wilderness. They've been tracking a big caribou. They'd been tracking a big caribou herd for a while and eventually caught up with them in a mountainous valley. The duo walked into the valley, leaving their four-wheelers behind so as not to spook the caribou with engine noises. There, in the center of the valley, the placid beasts grazed on the tundra scrub.
Not celestial stags.
No, they could be celestial stags. You never know. Caribou kind of look like you.
They do.
Rex and Sam climbed a little ways up the western side of the valley across some rolling elevation and kept losing and regaining sight of the herd while they got within range. It was late afternoon, and the western sun illuminated the valley and east side of the enclosing mountains. The hunters were in the chilly shadows and moved silently. They didn't want to spook anybody.
Silently.
Rex and Sam got a good vantage point to select their targets. Using binoculars, Rex scoped out the herd while Sam took a quick moment for a smoke. Despite the remote location, Rex spotted a curiosity. A trio of hunters on the far side of the valley. They'd killed and were cleaning a massive bull, or so it seemed. Something was off, though, and Rex pointed this out to Sam, who stopped smoking immediately, right then, to take a look. He's like, I'm done with this cigarette. What are we going on? Sam pulled out his rifle and zeroed the powerful scope on the three hunters. He quickly realized why the scene was so perplexing. The trio wore traditional indigenous clothing, handmade from hides and lacking any of the trappings now common among modern native Alaskans. Other anomalies were quickly apparent. There were no guns in sight, and these hunters' bodily proportions were weird. Big heads with short bodies and little arms and legs, but clearly muscular. All of a sudden, one of the hunters stopped his task and looked up from the caribou he was eating. His hand shot up with his index finger pointing straight to the sky. The other two stopped and looked at their companion expectantly. In an instant, the arm dropped parallel to the ground with the finger pointed directly at Rex, and Sam. All three hunters turned their heads at the same time to look at the men. Startled, both flinched, looked at each other, and then back towards the trio. But they weren't there. They were gone. They couldn't be seen. No hunters, no butchered caribou, nothing. Nilch, nada. Hmm. That's a little weird. After bagging their own kills, the two friends went to investigate the site where they saw the trio and their bull. Small splotches of blood littered the area. Tiny footsteps like those of children were scattered around a circle, but there were no traces of tracks leading to or from the spot.
Aliens.
Oh, Jesus. The second one is from Kivlina in Alaska. It's odd, but it's a little bit more lighthearted. A young man in his early 20s told how his older brother, Clyde, went to visit a neighboring village one dark winter's day on his snowmobile. On his way back, the snowmobile broke down and wouldn't start. And then the snow began to fall. Without cell service and outside of radio range, the fellow decided to hike back. But he didn't anticipate the snow falling harder and harder. Eventually, he got turned around as temperature and visibility dropped dramatically. Unprepared for the conditions, hopelessness threatened to consume Clyde, but he stubbornly struggled onward through the thickening snow.
Because he's resilient.
Because he's a trooper.
That's right.
As fatigue set in, though.
Oh, shit.
An unseen piece of debris under the white blanket tripped him, and Clyde struggled to remain upright in hard-packed snow. In attempting to regain balance, he slipped down a steep snowdrift, and his feet flew out from under him. The back of Clyde's head hit hard, and he lost consciousness. Clyde awoke a little later as he felt hands rolling him through the snow, but then he blacked out again. Eventually, Clyde came to once more as he felt a jostling, and then someone picked him up from what seemed like a bed of furs. Cold and groggy, Clyde tried and failed to see who was manhandling him. His frigid form was gently laid down in the snow, and Clyde looked up. He immediately recognized a structure right in front of him, his own house. Clyde tried to turn around quickly to see who'd rescued him, but his movements were slow. No one was there. He thought he dimly heard distant hooves hammering the ground, but the snow still felt hard and the thick whiteout blotted both hearing and vision. He stumbled into his house and was diagnosed the next morning with frostbite and a concussion from the painful, swollen bump on the back of his head. Clyde's snowmobile was found the following spring. A full 20 miles from the village. To this day, Clyde and his family have no idea who rescued him or how they managed it in the blizzard. I guess I have another one. I forgot. Sorry.
I'm still getting over the Clyde thing. 20 miles?
Yeah, it was 20 miles.
They brought him back 20 miles.
Mm-hmm. So who knows who it was, though?
True.
All right, this is... bonus round.
Uh-oh.
This one, the guy wanted to stay anonymous, so we'll call him Vic. Vic used to work for the Alaska Commercial Co., which is sort of like the Walmart of Alaska villages. That's how what they called it. The AC store, as you would put it, sell a wide variety of food from hardware to everything in between. Rick and random colleagues would occasionally be selected to visit villages and take inventory or restock entire stores. As anyone that's worked in retail can tell you, these are not pleasant times. I can attest to that. Mm-hmm. In Vic's experience, such trips would take an entire week or more depending on the size of the store. In most villages, there are no B&Bs or hotels for visitors. So the individuals or teams tasked with rearranging shelves and displays brought sleeping bags and pads to crash in the stores.
Oh, God.
So it's like camping out in Walmart.
Nah.
Employees would sometimes come back from these expeditions with eerie tales. Alarm systems frequently going off in the middle of the night for no apparent reason. Furniture or entire pallets worth of goods moved to different sides of the store in silence. Objects thrown from the ceilings and other strange occurrences. One colleague, we'll call him Glenn, shared a particularly mysterious experience. Glenn was quiet, polite, and all around a nice guy, but he was darn good at his job, utilizing his diligence to set stores in pristine order. On a trip to a smaller AC location, he brought his sleeping bag and rather than sacrifice precious time by setting up camp in the back room, simply made camp for the night in the middle of an aisle he was working on.
That makes sense.
Yeah. As Glenn drifted off, he recalled a distinctly unsettling sensation as someone was watching him. Sleep eventually came, but was loudly interrupted by a resounding smacking noise as if someone had just dropped a book from a tall height. I thought he was going to say somebody was eating something. Glenn.
He was in the snack aisle.
Yeah. Just eating their popcorn, watching this guy sleep. Glenn sat straight up as the sound echoed throughout the store. Grabbing his flashlight, Glenn peered toward the front of the store and then turned around to look behind him. What he saw was inexplainable as it was disturbing. Loaves of bread had been stacked into a pyramid a few feet away from where Glenn slept. The pyramid was perfectly formed and tidy, and the aisle Glenn had been working in held no bread. No bread in that aisle.
Oh.
Nope. The bread aisle was all the way on the other side of the store. Scared and nervous, Glenn turned on all the lights and checked the store security. The doors were all locked, windows bolted, and alarm still on. Nothing was broken, and there were no signs of anyone else in the store. As, you know, Glenn is a good guy, he took each loaf of bread back to the correct aisle and stocked them accordingly.
Aww.
Freaked out, Glenn shut off the lights, settled back into his sleeping bag, and lay awake for what seems like hours. He didn't remember drifting back into unconsciousness, but was quickly awoken again, yet to another banging noise. I probably wouldn't have been as... This time, as Glenn nervously reached for his flashlight, he heard something metallic on the floor. Springing up, just as he turned on his flashlight, the beam illuminated a can of soup that was rolling toward him. It stopped at his feet. Glenn raised his gaze and flashlight where the bread pyramid once stood. A wall of soup cans was now erected from one side of the aisle to the other. Even more peculiar, the wall stood exactly at Glenn's height. And then another baffling realization struck him. This aisle had no cans. This isn't the soup aisle. Someone or something had hauled the cans from an aisle near the bread shelves to make the pyramid or the wall. Yeah.
Aliens. Aliens.
We are in Alaska.
Yeah. They have aliens.
Yet again, the offending items were restocked, but this time Glenn didn't fall back asleep. Wired from adrenaline, he first checked all the security measures once more. Everything was the same, secured and locked down. Glenn was spooked and decided to work through the rest of the night until the local village staff showed up in the morning, at which he promptly passed out in the back room. After that, Glenn refused to do another village visit alone, and the AC powers that be enacted a buddy system policy for its employees, tasked with such work. AC management also made a point of telling Glenn not to spread the story, especially how the villagers told Glenn that it was definitely the little people, prone to mischief and happy to show off their magic. And I just found some other things about them online that were a little weird. Like, this guy was out in a boat in Alaska, obviously, and in the middle of the lake, and he heard a rock fall. Like, you know, when you throw a rock and it goes like plunk,
yeah,
and a splash. He heard that like right next to his boat, and he turned around to look, and there were ripples in the water. But there was no way anybody could have thrown it at him.
Because he was too far out in the lake.
He was too far out. And he was like, whatever. So he continued doing what he was doing. And it happened again. So this time he's like, dude, what is going on? Looking all around the shore. And if so, it was really far away, but he thought he saw a person wearing the old-timey clothes and... he's like, I don't know if they're trying to hit me or if they're trying to get my attention. So he went back to shore and there was nobody there. But everything that I found on these guys was just, they are a little mischievous.
And what are they called? What do they call them? Just little people?
I knew she was going to ask this.
I want to hear you pronounce it. Our listeners want to hear you pronounce it.
Aliens.
The aliens.
Incinerat people?
Yeah, that's what I just want to hear you pronounce it.
Well, I probably butchered it, but that's what I looked up.
That's what you looked up?
Mm-hmm. I did see.
What is he looking up?
I don't know.
I did a search on it because I'm like, you know, I'm hearing these stories about these little people in Alaska that are deep into the bush and you know, have the funny masks on their face and, mm-hmm. and all that. And, I mean, the stories of them actually, feeding on babies to help keep them, you know, rejuvenated was what I was, thinking was going on. So,
yeah, when I Googled them every different way that I could, and it said there were a lot of them that said that the internet had blown them up
really big. Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, that would make sense then, because yeah, they're throwing all this stuff. Because the first thing that I ran across was a TikTok video, you know, that they had mastered over with these pictures of them talking, which obviously, you know, is part of that new AI system that they've installed out there in the world. And you know, it's like, it was, I mean, it's just, they're really creepy looking with the long, straight, greasy hair and the big claws. And
a lot of the stuff that I found is that it was the elders that had passed away, and these little people were the elders with their spirits. And okay. They did wear the masks and the furs and stuff, but that was pretty much all that it said.
So basically what you're saying is that TikTok and the internet is kind of blown
up.
Yeah,
don't believe everything you
all right.
watch, read on the internet. But you can listen, yeah.
So well, I'm sure there'll be a movie out about them or something. Well, there probably already is.
And, you know, everybody's story is different. Maybe somebody thought that they saw somebody like that or had know somebody that got eaten by one. You know, I don't know.
Right.
But, I mean...
I know that they say that you don't want to go into, listen, we've done, so you talk about these little people that are mischievous. It always falls back to me on the whole Puckwudgie, mm-hmm. you know, side of stories, you know, that's what they did. They were mischievous and would draw you in and either make you walk up the side of a cliff or just basically get lost for days out in the woods. You know, and then we've talked about the Alaskan Triangle. You know, and all of the things that go on in the deep, deep woods and abandoned lands of Alaska. And so, I mean, there might be some truth to you know, what this is going on with these stories. Or, you know, maybe it is just the story you just told that's been blown up and way out of proportion.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that, you know, to think it that way. But, I mean, that's where we're at with it, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a lot of fun looking through stuff because there was a lot of, I even got on Reddit and was looking at it, and there were a lot of people saying, oh, this is just what, these are bedtime stories, so kids would go to bed, or the teenagers wouldn't sneak out of the house.
Right.
It was their type of way of saying, don't go outside. You know, like in Kentucky, they say, don't go outside at night.
Why don't you go outside at night in Kentucky?
Because the ickies will get you.
Oh, then no specific ickies?
Yeah, there's specifics. It's just...
Okay.
How you were raised. Yeah. The Rougarou. I don't know. There's many things.
The Wendigo.
The Wendigo. Yeah. The Rougarou.
Don't say
it. I only said it. She okay. said it the second time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Krampus.
Yeah.
we've talked about this before, you know, Slender Man was never a thing until everybody talked about it. And now, you know, now mm-hmm. the more people talk about it, the more things happen, the more this becomes more of a realistic cryptid. So,
yeah,
it's insane to me. But the Alaskan Triangle, if you get a chance, go back and listen to that old episode that Alicia did. And she talks about a lot of crazy things that go on up in there. But yeah, this is just another incident of what to stay away from in Alaska, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to go to Alaska.
I don't really have a big charge to go to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
My mom went.
My parents did.
Did they do the whale watching cruise, or did they just go up there for something else?
They did the cruise, and then they took the train that takes you all along the inside in the wilderness,
really?
Yeah. So good thing that their train didn't break down.
No kidding.
Little people might have got them.
Well, it sounds like the little people would have taken them back to their house.
That's true. Whichever story you believe, I don't. It's fine.
I always wanted to go to Ketchikan. I always thought that was a cool name. I always wanted to see what Ketchikan, Alaska looked like. And with Google Maps, I can do that with never leaving my bedroom.
Yeah. I'd rather not go. There are too many alien abductions and sightings. Blah.
In Alaska, that's
yeah.
where the...
Mm-hmm. It's better.
Once again, the Alaskan Triangle.
Have you seen The Fourth Kind?
Can you give me a breakdown of it real quick?
The scientist lady lives in Alaska, and all this weird shit starts happening. Her one kid goes missing, and all this stuff's happening, and she gets help from... another scientist that her husband knew or something, and it all hell breaks loose. It's crazy. Sean made me watch it, and I cried through it.
I don't think I have not seen that.
You
have you seen
it.
That?
I don't think so.
It has the girl from Resident Evil in it.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it's not good, but it's good.
Right. It's yeah. one of those that you actually enjoyed, even though it terrified you the entire way through.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have several of those.
Because I can't remember if it said it was based on a true story or it's one of those based on a true story,
uh-huh.
air quotes, you know,
uh-huh.
it's supposed to just scare you. I can't remember, but it scared the shit out of me. Mm-mm.
No dice.
Negative there, Nancy.
Fourth Kind?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm watching Three Body Parts on Netflix right now.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
What is it, like the big thing is you got bugs or something like that?
You got bugs? No, it's aliens.
Yeah, okay.
No, thank you.
I don't know. I watched, we talked about this off air a little bit ago, I watched Quiet on Set.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen that, I'm going to tell you right now, you better have your have some thick skin and an empty stomach because it will make you ill of what goes on and some of the things that goes on behind the scenes of some of these kids shows. So
yeah.
If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, I was going to watch one episode and I end up binging all four of them because it was, I mean, it brought me in and you wanted to know what was going to happen,
yeah,
and what the story was, but it was very, very interesting to know what's going on behind the scenes. So unlike here at the United States Paranormal, there's not much going on behind the scenes. It's pretty much right here on mic.
Yeah.
You get it all.
We tell you everything.
We do tell you everything. Hell, you know about J-Dub's bowel movements.
Yeah, sure do. They're very regular.
That's a good thing. So we're happy you're regular.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Like tonight, we recorded some TikTok videos and stuff like that. So there you go. There's some fun ones. You've probably already seen them by the time this episode come out. But hell, you know, there you go.
We'll do more, though.
But we need to do more. We need to.
Fun.
We got the setup right here. We can just do a few more and get some ideas going on. So if you guys got some ideas for what we should do on TikTok, hit us up, theunitedstatesparanormal@gmail.com. All right. Yeah. You okay over there? All right. Well, hey, go check out the merch store. It is the Parafeet week. I don't know.
Parafeet week.
You want to order yourself a nice hoodie, tank top, or a t-shirt, Parafeet.
Or any of the
beaver.
The beaver.
Get yourself a great white bald beaver. It was really good to see Mason going out on the town with his beaver hanging out.
I had somebody ask me about that today.
Because he tagged us all in it?
He's like, what's up with the beaver shirt?
Wait a second. Don't they listen to our podcast?
I just told him it was a podcast thing. It was one of our images and...
Gotcha. Well, if they had listened to the podcast, they'd know all about the great white bald beaver.
Maybe they're just not to where the beaver is yet.
They could be.
Maybe. They're not there yet.
Could
we'll
be.
Give them that.
I will go with that.
I wear my beaver all the time, so. My beaver shirt. You nasty.
All right, there you go. All right, check us out, UnitedStatesParanormal.com. Of course, you know, go check out all the rest of everybody else in the Golden Mojo Entertainment. You know the list. Or you can find us at GoldenMojoENT.com, too. There you go. Good job.
Sorry it wasn't scary.
It was alien-ish, yes.
Yeah. Look at
they're there, and then they're not there. They're there, and then they're not
that
there.
That is, yeah, that is.
And where did they go?
It's an alien. They got... beamed up or beamed down. I don't
know.
What
is this, Star Trek?
Beam me up, Scotty.
They had their little feet disappeared. Where the hell did they go?
Yeah, in that big old bowl. Him gone.
And how
that
they
was...
get those soup cans there so quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's aliens.
They teleported the soup cans.
Yep. Well, right? Maybe they got little portals. So they roll it down one aisle and it pops out in a different aisle.
Mm-hmm. They're cousins to Squatch.
There you go.
Cousins to the Squatch.
They're baby Squatches.
There you go.
Baby Squatch.
That's funny.
Oh, God.
Don't do it. Don't do
Grandpa
it.
Grandpa Squatch.
Don't do it.
Baby Squatch. Baby Squatch.
I quit.
You could not do it. Come
J-Dub
on,
J-Dub Squatch. Roger Chick Squatch.
So funny.
Oh, yeah. We're going to lose viewers over that
Woo!
One. All right, guys. We're out of here. Thank you so much. We appreciate all of you for checking us out. And keep it spooky. I'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The United States of Paranormal. Check us out at theunitedstatesofparanormal.com or at any other of our social media pages. At Twitter, at TOSOPPOD. At Instagram, at The United States of Paranormal. Or Facebook, at The United States of Paranormal. Or YouTube, at The United States of Paranormal 1795.
Please check out our other podcasts in the Golden Mojo Entertainment Network. The Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, Indiana Chiefs Fans, The Golden 80s, Murd Nerds, and A Court of Books and Booze.
And if you have a location you would like us to check into or a creepy story that you would love to tell us, please email us at theunitedstatesofparanormal@gmail.com. please like, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen.